This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Seattle Seahawks, the best team in the National Football League.
The Rich Eisen Show.
They got May flustered and, dare I say it, seen ghosts.
Earlier on the show, legendary sports broadcaster Al Michaels. Coming up, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth. Seahawks linebacker Ernest Jones. Actor and comedian Joel McHale. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. How great was that with Al Michaels?
Oh, amazing.
Epic.
The greatest. I know. That's epic. Tell me how great it is. Call me and tell me how great it is. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Phone lines are all lit. Hey, everybody who's on hold, who's been on hold for a while through hour number one, stay on hold. We're going to take your calls shortly. We have Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, a Super Bowl version of it. Ernest Jones in hour number three of the Seahawks. Joel McHale of the 12s will join us in studio, just like Al Michaels just did. We say hello to our ESPN audience. We say hello to those on the ESPN app and Disney Plus, ESPN Radio, and Sirius XM Channel 80. And we bring in a man who's been with us all season long, always some great insights from a three-time Super Bowl champ from Fox Sports, Mark Schlereth. Great to see you, Mark. How are you, sir?
I am doing great, Rich. Always good to be with you, man. And Al Michaels, just a legend. Love Al Michaels. I didn't get to hear it, but I'm going to go back and try to listen.
Oh, it was great. We went down Super Bowl memory lane and hardly even talked about Super Bowl 60. I guess it's because there's not much talk about after what appeared to be a beatdown in the making that actually materialized. But what are your thoughts on Super Bowl 60 to start off our Tuesday chat here, Mark?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple things that resonate with me when I watch that game. And obviously, you know, Seattle did a phenomenal job of controlling line of scrimmage. And, you know, that's one of the things that I always come away with. You know, we get so enamored in today's game about, you know, receivers and the passing game and this, that, and the other. And you control line of scrimmage, you're going to win probably 80-85% of your games. And that's what it came down to me. Like I said this on the Stink of Truth podcast, Rich. I said, like, there's three things that don't lie, like small children, physicality in the run game, and yoga pants. Those three things do not lie. And by the way, yoga pants are a privilege. They're not a right. That's just me just letting you guys know.
No, we applaud
those are things that do not lie. And when you dominate a line of scrimmage, you're going to win. And the Seattle Seahawks opened up a can of whoop ass on line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, whether it was Kenneth Walker or whether it was that defense getting after Drake May the entirety of that game.
And the left side of the offensive line for New England was a concern for many. And I'm just wondering if there was a moment, because you know how the way coaches talk to each other, that watching film, Vrabel and Josh McDaniels watching what Seattle's been doing over the last few weeks, certainly in the playoffs, had to look at each other and go, okay, this has got to be the plan of our lives here because we're in trouble. Do you think that sort of self-scout took place prior to Super Bowl 60, Mark?
Oh, I'm sure. And that was one of the things that was frustrating watching the game, because I think Josh McDaniels is a phenomenal coach, but you know, I say this all the time, man, put a guy in a position to lose, don't be surprised when he loses, because you're the dumbass that put him in that position. And Will Campbell couldn't hold up in that game. And so what was the adjustment? What were you doing? I mean, the Seahawks, give them credit. Mike McDonald did a great job of attacking their protections. And one of the things he did was there was a lot of blitz, Witherspoon coming off the right side of the line of scrimmage. What happens when you do that? Well, what happens is you put tight ends over there, you put a running back over there, you turn protection that way. And what does that leave in response? It leaves the left side of your offensive line where there's two rookies one-on-one. And they were in those positions so many times. Will Campbell gave up 14 pressures. And listen, man, Like, that's one of those things that you look at and you say, okay, what are you doing to support that? How come you only ran the ball 13 times when it was 6-0 through the majority of the first half? How come, like, how come you didn't counter some of the upfield pressure with a trap or something of that nature? You can always go back and second guess it, but I just didn't think they did a very good job offensively countering what the Seattle defense did, what Mike McDonald called. I think the other thing, and I always say this when I'm preparing for a game, Rich, and you know, you've done a bunch of games as well, you kind of get a sense of what a team thinks of another team based upon the game plan they put together, and they're bringing pressure and they're playing man-to-man coverage behind it. And it was the equivalent of Globo Gym, where they said, we're better than you, and we know it. And there was nothing the New England Patriots had. They had no answers for the Seattle Seahawks defense. They were tremendous. For me, a lot of fun to watch. I know a lot of people thought it was a boring Super Bowl, but for me, it was fun to watch them get after Drake May and the New England offense.
Well, that's why I'm wondering, were there any answers? I know you're just like, you know, quick game, traps, this, that. I just don't know if there were any answers, and that if you run this thing 100 times, you know, maybe one or two times you get one of those throws that Darnold made deep in his own end towards the end of the first half. Maybe one of them gets tipped and picked. Maybe you have one of those moments. I don't know. It just seems like what were the answers to the test?
Well, one of the things I would tell you is get into empty, get both of your edges, you know, secured with tight ends, and make sure at least you stop those initial edges. Well, at least you help a guy like Will Campbell right off the bat. I mean, at what point, if you're coaching on that staff, at what point did you think all of a sudden Will Campbell was going to figure it out? Was it midway through the third quarter, like all of a sudden he was going to have an epiphany where he's like, oh yeah, you know what? Nope. These things hanging out of my shoulder pads, those are arms, and I'm going to have to start using them to block people. Like, at what point did you think he was going to come up with an answer for himself? He wasn't. So you as a coaching staff are going to have to come up with that answer. And they just never, you know, I mean, it was as though offensively they were shell-shocked, and the answer was, hey, if our defense could get a pick six, maybe, you know, or create a couple of turnovers, then maybe we have a chance to win this game. But clearly Seattle was the better team, and they've been the best team in football for about the last 4 or 5 weeks of the regular season and throughout the playoffs, no question about it.
Well, and again, Mark Schlereth, you know from your experiences, and we talked about it before the Super Bowl as well, that it is an offensive lineman's worst nightmare to hear his name called as much as you've called Will Campbell's name here.
Yeah.
And so what advice would you have for Will Campbell, Mark?
Well, I think there's just technically, like, there's a lot of things technically that he could be better at. He gets too deep, and he gets turned perpendicular to line of scrimmage. And one of the things you have to have as an offensive line, you got to stay parallel as you can to that line of scrimmage. When you get turned, so when you're coming off the line of scrimmage, if you get turned perpendicular to line of scrimmage, you open up an invitation to get bull rushed. You open up a soft pocket, you open up a short edge on the outside, and you open up a hole on your inside. And so he's very predictable in his pass sets, and he consistently gets turned, and he doesn't attack line of scrimmage enough. So some of that would be, you know, how do you take the passive out of pass protection? How do you change up your sets? How do you attack line of scrimmage based upon the routes and the route combinations? We call the three-step drops, Rich. Those are all called in the huddle. So if you're going to go two jets, could be 200 jet. That's a three-step drop where I can attack. But you have to understand the five-step drops where the ball is out. And so how can I take the different five-step drops that we call and understand which ones I can attack line of scrimmage and treat them like a three-step drop? And so I can go take the passive out of pass protection. I can become the aggressor in those situations. So those are things that come with maturity, that come with growing in the offense, that come with understanding when you can take those chances, when you can take the fight, you know, to the defensive line. One of the things I always thought when I was struggling in a game, and it may not look pretty on film, but I was just going to turn it into a street fight. And like, I may not grade out well, but at least I'm not going to get my quarterback hit a bunch. And I want to do that at the line of scrimmage as much as I can possibly do that to slow them down. And like I said, to take that passive out of pass protection. And that never happened for Will Campbell. And a lot of that's because he's a young player. And I still think he's a really good player. And when I hear people say, oh, well, he's got to move inside because he's got short arms. Those people don't know jack squat about football. It has nothing to do with short arms. Like he just needs to be technically a lot better, and that will come with time and with, you know, educating himself on the game.
Mark Schlereth, Stinkin' Truth Podcast, Fox Sports, 3-time Super Bowl champion here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the Seattle portion of it, how sustainable do you think this team is, Mark? That's always the question about a Super Bowl champ. What's your opinion on that?
Well, my opinion is I think a couple of things. I think they've got a great young core of really good football players. Defensively, I think they're incredible. They've got a great rotation on their defensive line. They just are a really good, solid football team with stars on all three levels of their defense. So I think that's incredibly sustainable. And I think defense always travels. And so I think that's a big part of who they are. I think they've got a couple of young offensive linemen that are really good players. Obviously Kenneth Walker III was incredible. And his ability just to play, I'm like, they're running tight inside zone stuff, like 14-15 handoff where he like walks up the line of scrimmage. It's just the most remarkable thing. He's like standing straight up. He like literally walks to the line of scrimmage, gets everybody to suck in, and then bounces something to the outside and is so explosive.
Yeah.
Like he's got that unique combination of just power, quickness, but just that speed. And I thought he was phenomenal. And I think one of the things that I've always really liked him, but I think he became a much better back when he became a bell cow as opposed to a guy that was trading, you know, rep for rep with Charbonnet. And there are those guys in this league that just get better with carries, that understand what a defense is doing and how to set the defense up. And I thought that was kind of old school 90s football of Kenneth Walker and what they did in Seattle. I think he had 27 carries. I thought he was phenomenal.
Yeah, he sure was. And then there's the question of Sam Darnold, Mark. I mean, what an incredible season he wound up having. And we just had Al Michaels here. The fourth quarter of that Week 16 Thursday nighter against the Rams is really when he put his foot down in the ground and said, this is it. He basically called game, right? He called game that night, and he called game on the season. Now that we're looking back, obviously anything could have gone in a different manner when the humans are actually playing a game.
Yeah.
But looking back, he called game starting in the fourth quarter of the season.
Rich, I thought, I thought just overall with Sam Darnold, first off, man, he is baptism through fire, man. That guy's, you know, heard it all about being a bust and being no good and getting bounced from team to team to team. And we've talked about that. But I thought that fourth quarter, he threw two picks in the first half of that game in Seattle against the Rams that they won, you know, 38-37, whatever it was. And from that point forward, there was a realization that he went through, I believe, where he was just like, listen, man, we've got a really good running game. We've got a really good football team. We've got a great defense and a great head coach and a great, you know, defensive play caller with a great offensive play caller. The only way we don't have a chance to win is if I turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the entirety of the playoffs, I don't believe they had one turnover.
Nope.
As an offense.
Mm-hmm.
And like Sam Darnold, it takes a level of maturity to go, hey, man, we're going to win football games, but I'm not going to be the star. Like to have that level of selflessness to say the only way we're going to lose this game is if I lose it, and I'm not going to allow that to happen. So I don't care about being a superstar. I care about our team winning. And I think that's the coolest thing for me. My experience with winning in this league and winning championships in this league is it's amazing what you can accomplish when nobody cares who gets the credit. And that is exactly what I saw from Sam Darnold throughout this playoff run toward the end of the season. I thought he was remarkable and good for him because he's a great dude. Great dude.
And he's a perfect avatar for what Mike McDonald sells. He really is, you know, and like, I know coach quarterback combinations are usually, you know, offensive minded head coach, not a defensive minded head coach, but Darnold is a perfect personification of what Mike McDonald wants out of his team. And on top of it, just to, I guess, bring all of our conversation for the year full circle, only one team, Mark Schlereth, in the playoffs had zero fourth down attempts on offense. Zero. Didn't one time go for it.
Yeah.
You want to guess which team that was, Mark Schlereth?
I'm going to say it was the Seattle Seahawks.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Not one time.
Yeah.
And they got 13 points off of the failed fourth down attempts of their opponents. And they didn't turn it over. And they ran the ball. The MVP of the Super Bowl was a running back. I mean, soup to nuts. It was excellent at every spot. Every spot.
And let me just say this about Mike McDonald. I think this is really hard for a young coach, and he's in his second year as a head coach. But he has the ability to be relational, but be demanding. And I say this all the time, Rich, about coaches in general and the coaches that have success. And I played for Joe Gibbs. I played for Mike Shanahan, two of the great coaches in this league and the history of this league. They have this, I always talk about this fear factor of coaches, and two types of fear: biblical fear, which is awesome, reverence and respect. You have to have respect for those guys, and you have to know like they're in charge, and then just straight up fear. Like they'll cut you in a heartbeat, and they're demanding. And if you don't do what they're asked, you don't get to play. And for Mike McDonald, just having that kind of connection with his players and basically saying, if you don't play the style of football that I require, guess what? You don't get to play. And he established that from day one when he took over that program. And you could see just the value of having a guy that has those two types of fear. And he has those two types of fear without question.
All right. Before I let you go, Mark Schlereth, two sports talk radio questions.
Yeah.
To end our conversation.
All right. Okay, great.
First one, the team watching the result of Super Bowl 60 that is kicking themselves the most for not being there because they think they have a chance to win it. I'll give you various ones. There's Minnesota, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's Denver. I know Bo Nix got hurt. Mm-hmm. There are the Rams. You've got anybody else in the AFC. I guess the Chiefs even. The Chiefs might be sitting there going, any of our last few years, right? Eagles could be sitting there also. Which one do you think is kicking themselves this Tuesday morning the most, Mark?
Probably the Broncos, but the Broncos were going to play with a backup quarterback. I do think the Rams look at that, look at their last couple of games with the Seahawks and going, man, like offensively, we put it on that defense. We scored, you know, 37 points in the regular season game and whatever they scored in the playoffs. Like we put it on them. There's another team that bypassed a field goal to give them an opportunity to win by going for it on fourth down. So it's probably more than even the Broncos. It'd probably be the Rams.
Mm-hmm. Because they thought that.
Yeah.
So you do believe the NFC Championship game turned out to be a de facto Super Bowl, whoever won?
Oh, I don't think there's any, I don't think there's any question. Those are two best. I think the Rams and the Seahawks are the two best teams in football.
Okay. Last one is the poll question that's at Rich Eisen Show on the X Machine. Read it to Mark Schlereth, Chris Brockman.
All right, Mark. Who wins more Super Bowls in their career? The last two winning quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, Jalen Hurts, or the previous two MVPs, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson? Which one of those four winds up?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would still go with, I know they haven't won it, but Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. But
you can only choose one.
Sorry, sir.
Yeah, you got. Well, you can only choose.
Oh, I can only choose one.
Yeah, it's not a grouping. Yeah, it's not a grouping. Yeah, you have to choose one of the last two Super Bowl quarterbacks to win it, or the last quarterbacks prior to this year to win the MVP. What do you got?
Ooh, man, that's great. Okay, I'll go Sam Darnold then because he's just got a better football team around him. How about that?
Yeah, but the Eagles, right? I mean, you don't think the Eagles could...
The Eagles seem so dysfunctional, Rich.
But that's
what
but that's their oxygen, isn't it?
Their love language.
I don't know. Here, one, I'll give... This is just for New England Patriot fans.
Okay.
Because I know you're hurting right now. And I just want to say the one positive thing that came out of the Super Bowl, and I think it's a big one. As a dude, I think it's a big one. Vrabel didn't have to cut off his hoo-ha. So you can take that away. Like, that's a really positive thing if you're a Patriot fan.
I think you left one thing off the list of what doesn't lie, Mark, and that's you.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I wrong?
Exactly.
Am I wrong? Kids say the darndest things. Stink says the darndest things right here. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth. Great to see you, man. Thanks for the season. And I'd love to, you know, keep having you on, and there's nonstop conversation here, obviously, with the league.
Anytime, man. Anytime. I will come on whenever you ask me, Rich. You've always been, and I will say this, man, you've always been really good to me from the very first time I got into television back in 2001 with ESPN when we worked together. And I've always appreciated the way you've treated me and treated others in that building. So thank you so much.
Hey, man, that's so kind of you to say that. That's a very long time ago when I had hair.
Yeah.
And we were just getting started. Look at us.
And I didn't have any gray in my beard at that time.
the Stinkin' Truth podcast with Mark Schlereth, wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, on Fox Sports. Mark, thanks for the time, brother. You be well.
You got it, Rich. We'll take care, buddy.
That's three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth. What do you say were the three things that didn't lie? Children? Young children.
Yeah, young children.
What was the second one again? I forgot that one because yoga pants threw me off.
It was something dominating run defense or something.
Yeah.
I just got stuck on the yoga pants.
I got yoga pants.
All right, now we're creeping people up.
I mean.
It's not like we were on ESPN or anything.
No.
Okay, we are. Wait a minute. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Your phone calls. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday right here on this fun Rich Eisen show approaching halftime.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show is a simulcast. ESPN Radio just rejoined us. We say hello to those listening, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Folks have been hanging on forever. So let's go to, who are we going to take here? Let's go to Michael in Pennsylvania here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Michael? It's line five, Michael Deltufo.
How are you, Rich?
What's up, bud?
Listen, two things. One, do you think that Jalen Hurts in modern-day football is the doormat of super-winning quarterbacks?
Last year at this time, Michael, we were talking about Jalen Hurts has arrived, and I'm like, Jalen Hurts with a win is going to be dangerous. And then the offense just wasn't anything close to what we saw 1 year ago at this time. The offensive line is different. Obviously, the play caller is different. And things did not work out as well. They did make the playoffs, right? They did win a playoff game. And
yeah, but here's, you got a different coordinator every year of your life from junior high school all the way to the pros. I mean, every other year, as of now, every other year we're going to the Super Bowl with a different coordinator. I just feel like everybody talks about Russell Wilson. If Russell Wilson were to end his, if Jalen Hurts were to end his career the same way Russell Wilson does, do you think Russell Wilson's a Hall of Famer, then wouldn't Jalen Hurts be?
Russell Wilson's first decade of his career was 100% Hall of Fame pathway. There's no question about it. There is no doubt, Michael.
I agree. But suppose Jalen Hurts plays the same way for 10 years.
I don't know, Michael. I mean, it's going to be a rough case for Russ at this point in time.
I know. I just think they treat him like he's a doormat.
There's no doubt about it. There's no question about it. And I think he's perfect for Philadelphia because he doesn't ever add any fuel to any fire that is burning, ever. He goes the opposite way. And I know that infuriates a lot of Eagles fans when he talks like he's writing a fortune cookie.
I want him to backlash too, but I would,
and thanks for the call, Michael, in Pennsylvania here on the program. An interesting food for thought. But, I mean, Jalen Hurts has been nothing but awesome his entire career. We go over his journey all the time. All the time. He's put one in the case in Philadelphia and two of it. If you want to go, I don't have his game log in front of me. You could make the case the best games of his career were Super Bowls. Super Bowls. And we'll see what happens this coming year with Sean Mannion. You're in the barrel. It's your time on the clock as the new offensive coordinator. And, you know, I don't know. Does this mean he might, if he does well, be poached in the next coaching cycle or he stays? I don't know. But you look at the photograph of the Super Bowl MVPs that returned in San Francisco prior to Super Bowl 60, and look at him. He's in this group. This is him. He is him. He's standing next to Peyton Manning. And there is Brady and Rice and Montana and Eli and Young and Emmett and Lynn Swann, and nobody ever can take that jacket away from him. I don't know what happened in Philadelphia, which, by the way, is the phrase that is said every year they don't make the Super Bowl.
Right.
In the last five. I have no idea what the hell happened there. And I have no idea what Hurts' role is in it. He didn't play well sometimes. Other times he played well enough, which is what we're talking about Sam Darnold now. But it doesn't help that they constantly churn quarterbacks. I mean, offensive coordinators there. We shall see. I mean, that is one of the biggest questions of this offseason is what's going to happen with A.J. Brown. Is there anything that's going to happen with A.J. Brown? And what the hell happened there?
Yeah.
Again. But Jalen Hurts, this time last year, it's like a monkey off the back. He got the Super Bowl championship. He is the guy. And he was superb, again, in the big game and worthy of being the MVP of that game. And then it all went down like it was 2 years prior to this one. What's going on with him? What's this? What's that? I don't know, but it seems to me he's the would he be better off like Sam Darnold? Send him to Seattle, and he can do relative anonymity, and nobody is going to bother him. Or is he the perfect guy in Philadelphia because he just removes the oxygen from the room to the point where you're like, is there anybody in there? Which is perfect because they're at Spinal Tap 11 all the time, and he doesn't turn it up to 12.
There's a lot of noise.
He always takes it down. He always turns down a noise.
Yeah, his game in the Super Bowl loss to Kansas City.
He could have won MVP.
Oh,
by the way, I went higher register.
No, he had a real good case. 304 yards and a touchdown, 70 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns.
Almost 400 yards and 4
we
touchdowns.
We know how that game ended. And then the rematch where he was MVP, 220, 2 touchdowns, 72 rushing yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
And I don't understand why we're still giving this. Why are we talking about this dude like he's some jabroni?
Do you like his career? Let's just do what the caller said. Do you like his career path better than Russ's at this point?
Russ had a better career path at this point. Although at this point he didn't win a Super Bowl yet, I don't believe. Russ's first years in the league, he won playoff games every year.
He did.
And playoff games, plural, every year. And he was doing things at the quarterback spot that few people had ever done at that age and in the first 10 years of a career.
Russell Wilson won a playoff game in each of his first 5 years in the
league. He was awesome. By the way, C.J. Stroud's won the first three.
C.J. Stroud won.
Russ was unquestionably on a Hall of Fame career path. Jalen Hurts has two Super Bowl appearances. Like, what years did Russ make the Super Bowls of his career?
Second year.
Okay.
2013.
All right.
Third year, 2014.
All right. So, yeah, I mean,
Russ for his career, 9-8 in the playoffs. 9-8 in the playoffs. Hurts is 6-4 right now.
I appreciate the caller saying, you know, he's on a Russ career path, and if he doesn't do it, you know, from here on out, is he now in the same bucket as we're putting Russ right now? I don't have an answer for it. I would say 100%, certainly if he stays in Philadelphia, where every other year it's like, great job, and the other years after that in between, they're all like, what the hell happened?
Well, next year, then he's probably going to the Super Bowl, right? That's how it's.
Where do the poll results stand in our poll question, Chris? Here,
The poll. Give us a call or log in and vote. Who wins more Super Bowls in their career? Sam Darnold, Jalen Hurts. They have one each, obviously. Josh Allen, Lamar. Lamar is at 5%. He's at the bottom. Josh Allen, 20%. And Sam Darnold and Jalen Hurts are tied, nearly 1,000 votes, at 38%.
Okay. Let's take one more phone call. We'll take a break, then we'll do Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Let's go to Jeffrey in San Francisco, who we saw, I believe, just last week. Jeffrey, how are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, Governor. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What's going on?
Listen, just wanted to touch base two quick things. The Strand and that story you told yesterday.
Okay.
The Strand exceeded expectations, dude. That was a fun night.
You're talking about the chat with Chris Berman live in front
of us,
where we saw you for an upcoming This Was SportsCenter, the new podcast series that we're cultivating like a Lufthansa caper around here, where I'm interviewing the OGs of the SportsCenter. Yeah, that was a fun night with Berman.
Fun night. Awesome. But, dude, I hit you with the who's more likely, two rings, Darnold or Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to ask Boomer. I was the last one to talk to Boomer, and I got to ask him my question. Out of all the people you've interviewed in your 40 years, if you could go back and talk to one person, one time, who would it be and why?
What did Berman say?
Willie Mays.
I love him. I mean, he's also got San Francisco on the brain there, too, for sure. I mean, he loves that town, and as do I. So that's a good one.
You know what was funny?
Yeah.
I was the last one. When I asked him the question, he just made this, like, guttural sound. Like,
oh, that's what he, I mean, that's Boomer. And what story did I tell yesterday? I told a lot of stories yesterday. What story did I tell?
The skunk.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was great. Thanks for the call. Yeah, Jeffrey in San Francisco.
Richard, real quick.
Yes, sir.
I met your wife. I told her a joke that Richard Kind told to Terry Gross the week before.
Okay.
Make sure she tells you that joke. It was funny.
Okay, very good. That's Jeffrey in San Francisco. Need to make a note. Susie might be out there listening right now. She's going about her busy day.
Tell us the Richard Kind
joke.
That could go in a million directions.
That could go in too many directions. Directions I don't wish to know. Let's go to Bo in Washington, D.C. What's up, Bo?
He's up.
Uh-oh. We'll give you one more second, Bo. And scene.
Back on hold.
Frank in Torrance, California. Just down the road from us here.
South Bay.
The home game. What's up, Frank?
Hey, very special to be on the show. Listen. Sunday's game reminded me of the Jet game, January 12th, 1969. Now, think about this, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets held the great Don Shula Baltimore Colts scoreless for the first three quarters.
That was a great day.
Now, that was amazing. And here's what's really ironic. That Colts team was 13-1 in a 14-game season. They held those teams, 10 games, teams were held with 10 points or less. Four shutouts, five games with no touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one loss to the Cleveland Browns, 30-20. And that was the team they played in the championship game.
Yeah.
And everyone thought that that was going to be a war. The Colts destroyed the Browns 34-0, which led to the 17.5 point being favored over the Jets. after the Packers had won the first two Super Bowls. So what's so ironic about all of this, and I'm going to test your memory on this.
Okay.
Who do you think was the defensive coordinator for the Jets?
Well, that was Weeb Eubank as the head coach.
Right. Okay. And I was shocked to know it was Buddy Ryan.
Buddy Ryan. I almost said it. Damn it, Frank. I should have said it just to freak you out. Thanks for the call, Frank. Thanks.
I got some more interesting stats about that game. Now, here's Joe Namath, the flamboyant Joe Namath, sitting in his Speedo, drinking his pina colada, telling the sports writers they're guaranteeing victory. What they did in their game plan, they had 43 rushes to 29 passes, the Jets. And so they ate up the clock. They had about 140 yards rushing. Emerson Boozer and Matt Snell. And who was the MVP of that Super Bowl?
Joe Willie Namath, man.
Yeah.
Of course, because he guaranteed. You know why, Frank? And I appreciate the call. I got to jump because we got the commercial break coming up. You know why? Because he's chilling out at the pool. Telling all the sports writers, we're going to win this game.
Brent Musburger.
Brent Musburger was poolside with him, you know? And is it a Jim Harbaugh thing to say I remembered that day, even though I wasn't born yet?
You were not born yet.
I was not born yet. But I also appreciate Frank and Torrance. Hey, give it to me. Because we had no idea.
Old Gen Stats!
I had no idea that we were going to get an Old Gen Stats. Right there. Pretty good. You know, and while we're strolling down Jets memory lane here. this is true. I still can't believe Sam Darnold is a Super Bowl champion. Put up the board. Sam Darnold has now as many Super Bowl wins as the entire histories of the three teams he's previously played for. Three of the four. Obviously, we don't include the 49ers there.
Well, he didn't play, but yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sam Darnold now has as many Super Bowl wins as the Jets, Vikings, and Panthers combined. Tell that joke to Richard Kind.
Oh, Rich, I just can't.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Sam Darnold. You are fantastic. We'll take a break, everybody, right here on this Spin City edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday on ESPN and more coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Every sip of Coca-Cola brings you closer to the excitement of the FIFA World Cup 26. Because nothing compares to the joy. So grab a Coke and drink in the FIFA World Cup 26. No purchase necessary. 13 plus in 50 U.S. states and D.C. with a web-enabled device. Ends March 1st with 8 entry periods. Rules at CokeURL.com/soccer rules.
Oh, baby, the Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Every day feels new and epic with the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Because in a world of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in his style, and he is just driving those kids to soccer practice with up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters, and so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details. We do this every Tuesday on The Rich Eisen Show, the Overreaction Monday podcast. It's Chris Brockman and I always record it on a Monday morning before Monday show. It's out there in your RSS feeds. The Super Bowl 60 version of that now leads to Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right, Christopher, you've got the floor. What do you have over there?
Excited. You guys want to come over and watch the Super Bowl tonight?
No. It's already been played. Sorry. Yeah, your Patriots lost. Sorry. Convincingly. Sorry.
Good to see you guys.
Wow. I mean, that was...
I'm not overreacting. I'm just reacting.
I'm saying, you know, he's hurting. Nice. That was a little unnecessary.
I mean, I apologized three times.
The more I think about it, of all the disappointing, like, Boston championship, because there's been so many that they've played in championship. This one is hurts the least.
Not insufferable.
This one hurts the least.
Yeah, because you have 41.
Totally sufferable. Oh, is that really? Is that your first topic?
No, actually.
Oh, God. All right.
Talking a lot about Sam Darnold. Can't get enough of the story. Like I said on the pod yesterday, I think when we think about the 2025 season, we're going to remember the Sam Darnold redemption arc the most. He's going to be the only quarterback from the 2018 class to win a Super Bowl.
That's crazy. Come on.
I wait.
All right. Come on.
Whoa. I mean, what are we at now?
Really? We're 8 years in, boys. What has Josh Allen and Lamar even been to one?
And how dare you? How dare Crickets. You? How do you not know
Crickets.
That if in 12 years from now, 44-year-old father of 11, Josh Rosen, gets a phone call?
To what? Come coach?
I think he's an MBA now.
Whatever. All right. It's overreaction. Onward, sir. Onward.
Onward? You're going to flat out dismiss when he's the only one who's made it?
Onward. Onward. Let's go.
That is derelict of duty on your part.
Onward.
Present.
What an overreaction.
I don't know, though, man, because Mason Rudolph's in that class. So
okay, clip this
Look
off.
Look at you going deep.
Clip this saying. Off and what else? Play it at okay. Josh Allen's Hall of Fame.
Okay.
The Rams, guys, got to be feeling the worst.
Why would they play that at Josh Allen's Hall of Fame that he never won one?
He's probably gonna
Chris Brockman called it the Tuesday after Super Bowl 60 in the segment.
We'll play it on our show.
Okay.
Well, if that's the case, he might not make the Hall of Fame.
Of all the teams feeling the worst today, yesterday, watching, the Rams are feeling the worst watching the Super Bowl from home, thinking that could have been us.
You had no idea I was going to ask that of Mark Schlereth before, did I have any idea this would be.
I did not, but yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, they were the ones closest. Because the Vikings fans are like, that could have been us, too.
Yeah, but they weren't us.
But that's a whole season's worth of having to get through. That offensive line was not protecting J.J. McCarthy nor Carson Wentz either.
Right.
They were all banged up.
Right.
I think Denver fans are like, all we had to do was get the referees call the holding call in the end zone against the Bills that we deserved to have called for us for a walk-off safety, and there wouldn't have been any more action that caused Bo Nix to break his ankle. And we could have made it to the Super Bowl with him, and we could have been the champs. I know I just gave you a lot of tinfoil hat, you know, sunny in Philadelphia, you know, string on the bulletin board stuff. But I think this is a proper reaction. What else over there, Chris?
So close. Well, it came down to that Zach Charbonnet just picking up the ball for the 2-point conversion.
That's another one of those two. Yeah,
it's like so random.
There's a lot of moments for Rams fans to sit there, and the Rams maybe to sit there and think that should be us.
I know Will Campbell spoke today in New England, said he had a ligament tear this season, and apologized for not speaking after the game. This is the last day I'm going to pile on Will Campbell. The Patriots should have taken Tet McMillan or traded down for Colston Loveland in last year's draft at fourth overall.
Well, I mean, talk about playing the result, man.
We knew those guys were good coming in.
No, I still think this is an overreaction. You weren't a Tet McMillan away from beating the Seahawks, bud. You know, you also weren't Colston Loveland away from this.
That was literally anyone else playing on the left side.
You needed
line,
to have a better, well, you needed to have a better, I guess, backup plan or a better plan just in case. I just think the Seahawks were the better team, and at the end of the day, neither of these two guys, it would be great to have them. Let's see what happens with Will Campbell. I mean, you heard what Mark Schlereth said in hour two, earlier this hour. Teron Armstead, a frequent guest of this show, he tweeted out that everything he sees technique-wise from Will Campbell is fixable. So,
yeah,
they got the right staff to figure it out. Let's
similar video.
Overreaction. What else you got?
All right, a couple more. Let's talk about John Schneider. Phenomenal run that he's on as Seahawks GM.
Yes.
He's stolen the belt away from Howie Roseman.
Oh,
best
boy.
Best GM in the NFL.
Well, buddy. Talk about recency bias.
Brett Veach is sitting here like,
He's done a great. Howie Roseman.
Stolen the belt.
And Ozzie Newsome coming into the season were the only general managers in the history of the NFL to win two Super Bowls with a different coach and a different quarterback each time. John Schneider is the third, but John Schneider is the first to have both of those Super Bowls have completely new rosters. There was no overlap at all. So I'll say this is a proper reaction in that regard. I thought you were going to say that John Schneider's on a path to the Hall of Fame where he then makes it and at some point Bill Belichick still isn't in, and he's the general manager that says no.
Rich, before you answer this
instead
question,
of Bill Polian.
Good, I like
that. You like that one? I'm trying to be recent.
You guys know that Jerry Jones is a GM in the NFL.
Oh, okay.
I'm just making sure you know that before you answer the question.
What? My bad.
Yeah. My bad. Does this change anything? Or?
No. All right.
Okay.
Guys.
Great. No, before you finish up strong, we've got 20 seconds left before our radio audience departs. Hey, radio audience, Ernest Jones of the championship Seattle Seahawks team is going to join us. And then Joel McHale, a 12 himself, will join us as well. It's going to be a great third hour here on ESPN, ESPN Plus and Disney Plus. But ESPN Radio and Sirius XM, we will see you or chat with you in just another few seconds time.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.